Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Here we go. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, the Rob Brown Show. On your radio, it's the Fan Upstate. 4 hours of sports talk and shenanigans start right now. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. Great to have you. Rob Brown, the great one, Lonzo, and Ayo. Happy Wednesday. We've made it to the halfway. We haven't made it to the halfway point. We are approaching the halfway point of the week, and I got to tell you, good sports week. Good sports week. Sat around last night, late last night. Had some errands to run into the evening yesterday. Required a little travel time, and then got back to the crib. Got back to the Casa de Love at about 9:15. Settled onto the couch in time to watch a ridiculous Carolina Hurricanes victory in double overtime over the JC Devils. What a dub. This team was down 3-0 at the end of the first period and just had a gut feeling I needed to put the Cardiac Canes on the big TV. Just had a gut feeling I needed to put the Canes on the 65-inch. Just had a feeling they needed to go to the big television. And real glad I did. I was on BetMGM tonight, and we were talking basketball. And I told the boys, I'm like, hey, y'all are missing the boat right now. Y'all are missing the boat not doing more Stanley Cup hockey, more Stanley Cup playoffs, because this is ridiculous right now. And this game was everything good about playoff hockey. I've said it a few times. When it comes to postseason sports, the best postseason in all of sports is college baseball. And a lot of that has to do with the regional, super regional setup. I think it's got a spectacular mix of rewarding the best teams in the country that play the best talent in the country with special rights and privileges. But also, at some point, you got to go to Omaha. Everybody's on a neutral field, and it's great. My second favorite postseason in sports, without a doubt, is the Stanley Cup playoffs. And last night, if you weren't watching the Cardiac Canes and the Jersey Devils, you just missed out. Down 3-0, and then the floodgates open. Got three back, trailed 4-3 at the end of the second period. We're able to get one more in the third, take it to OT. We ended up in double OT, and Sebastian Aho decided to just show some stones and go get that dub. They clinched the series over New Jersey in game number 5. It is on to round 2 for the Cardiac Cats. We're going to talk about that later on in the show. The Denver Nuggets still have some life. I did not finish that game. I was exhausted. I went to bed. But I watched some of the highlights this morning. Perhaps reports of the demise of the Nikola Jokic, Jamal Murray-led Denver Nuggets were a bit premature. Jamal Murray had 43 last night. Nikola Jokic only had 13 in another triple-double. Only had 13 in another triple-double. And the Nuggets still found a way to win, still found a way to take Harden and Kawhi off the board and get that dub. Orlando is finished off by the Beantown Celtics last night. We'll get into that. The Bucks sent home, no Dame Lillard, no chance for Milwaukee. Did you see what happened on the floor after that game? Tyrese Halliburton, the father, decided he was good. Tyrese Halliburton's dad decided to try the 100 men versus one silverback challenge, except Tyrese Halliburton's father decided the actual challenge was one 55-year-old NBA's father versus Giannis Antetokounmpo. What the hell is that? What are you doing, Mr. Tyrese Halliburton's father?
Yeah, there are some guys in the NFL that maybe me as a 56-year-old would think I want to fight. I'm the NFL, NBA. But I would only think it. I would never go up and do that sort of thing. No, I would never think that. Why? Why is he even on the floor, first of all? And second of all, I mean, go find your son. Go back to the locker room. Do something. Don't go. It's just. Maybe in his mind, if he went over there and he got Giannis to hit him, Giannis would get suspended.
It doesn't matter. The series is over.
I know.
Giannis is on an airplane back to Milwaukee. It's done. Giannis talked, and I do have to say, to set up the postgame presser, Giannis went in, the media, because of course they did, were like, hey, Giannis, quick question. The hell was that? What was that? And Giannis said, because it was a real weird interaction, right? Like, after the game was over, Giannis and this guy, this old guy, are talking. And the announcers are like, that's Tyrese Halliburton's dad. Giannis got asked, yo, Giannis, yo, Greek freak, what the hell? And he said that Tyrese's dad came over and was holding up. I guess they gave away, like, towels, like rally towels, with Tyrese's face on him that night or something. But he had a towel with Tyrese's face on it. And apparently Tyrese's dad got into Giannis's face and was like holding up the towel with Tyrese's picture on it. Was like, that's what we do. That's what we do. We got you. That's what we do. And Giannis Antetokounmpo, who is big as hell, apparently decided, yeah, I'm going to say something back about it, and got in his face before they got separated. Now, who I actually want to give credit here to is Tyrese Halliburton, because Tyrese got asked about it and he didn't make any excuses. And I got the audio, I'll play it later. But he said, my dad was in the wrong here. It was disrespectful. My dad was in the wrong, and he and I are going to have a talk when we get back to the crib. Tyrese went, my dad on his dad. He went dad on dad. I got a lot of respect for Tyrese Halliburton jumping on the mic when the media was trying to blow it up into a thing. Tyrese jumped on the mic and was like, no, bro, he was wrong. Oh, yeah. He went too far.
I have a theory here, just a theory, and I know you're gonna slap down my theory, but Halliburton has close ties with the WWE. He wants to get in. He wants to wrestle. Giannis looks like he probably could go. WrestleMania next year. Halliburton versus Giannis.
Yeah, I'm going to say no, but it's not for the reason you think. I'm going to say no because Tyrese Halliburton's absolutely a natural heel. And that's a face move he pulled last night. That's an Ulta face move last night, right? That's criticizing your tag team partner for going too far.
Until the hidden footage. You know, of them back at the hotel going, good one, Dad, and, you know, dapping him up and all that kind of stuff. You know, the heel playing the face out in the public.
I don't know.
It's been done before.
It has. I'm gonna say no because Tyrese is a natty heel. And That was an extreme face move last night to grab the mic and go, my dad was wrong. All right, my dad went too far.
I gotta admit, I've felt like I wouldn't mind fighting some people when I felt like my kid got done wrong. But I think all parents feel that way. But when they're full on adult,
yeah.
I mean, you still feel that way a little bit, but look at you and look at your son. I mean, he's looking up at Giannis. Giannis would crush that dude.
Not only would Giannis crush that dude, Giannis would crush Tyrese Halliburton.
I don't know why you went Yiddish, but it was fun.
Because I couldn't get the end of that word right, and it was frustrating me. Tyrese Halliburton would get crushed by Giannis Antetokounmpo. Like, it's one thing to decide that you as a and again, I do have to keep in mind, Tyrese Halliburton's in his 20s. So it's realistic. I don't know how old Tyrese Halliburton's dad is. Like, in my head, all dads are now in their 60s, right? They're not. But in my head, all dads are now in their 60s. Tyrese Halliburton's father's probably in his 40s. Like, he's probably my age.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't want to think that someone your age would have someone playing in the NBA.
Yeah. I have to assume that he's like probably my age. Like, it is a tough recognition now that I am no longer the age of the athletes that I'm watching play professional sports. I am now the age of the parents of the athletes I am watching play professional sports. It has been very rough for me the last couple of years to watch, for instance, J.C. Horn becoming an NFL vet when J.C. Horn's father, Joe, was my favorite Saints wide receiver when I was already an adult, right? Like, Joe Horn was pulling cell phones out from underneath of end zone pads, of goalpost pads, when I was J.C. Horn's age. And now watching his son going into his, fourth year of NFL football, it's rough. But whether he's 60 or 40, Tyrese Halliburton's dad getting out there onto the floor and deciding he needed to go face up with the Greek Freak was just a weird thing to see happen. And here's my question. What happens? Because there was actually a scuffle between players after this game was over, which makes sense because it was a physical series. It was a contentious series. There was a lot of jaw-jacking back and forth. There was some physicality, and there were a few spots in this series, and not just this series, the Golden State Houston series, I feel like this is true about. But there were multiple spots in this series where I was like, bro, the refs better get a grip on this. Like, the officials better get a grip on this, because if this is allowed to continue without interference from the stripes, this is going to get out of hand. And it got out of hand late last night. These teams were getting after it. At one point, Giannis was on tape sprinting down the tunnel going after some of the Sirs players. Like, he was getting at, like, he was going to throw hands, it looked like. If he wasn't going to throw hands, the only other choice I can assume here is that he found out, like, the Pacers had the good pizza in their locker room, and he was trying to get himself a slice before they ran out, because it certainly looked like he was going to throw hands. There was some contention after this game was over that I think was built up throughout the series. But what would have happened if Tyrese Halliburton's dad goes out onto the floor, gets into Giannis's face, is waving a Tyrese towel in his dome? What happens if Giannis gives him the old what for? What happens if Giannis shoves his ass to the hardwood? What happens if Giannis puts him on his backside? Here's the here's the videos on TV right here, and I don't ever see a towel, but nobody seemed to dispute it. But Tyrese Halliburton's dead. Lonzo, that dude's in his 50s, right?
Maybe,
but that dude's in his 50s.
Maybe older. I don't know.
Yeah, that dude's in his 50s. And he goes forehead to forehead. Okay, let me rephrase that. Giannis lowers his head down about 9 inches to go forehead to forehead with Tyrese's father. And it was just this, like, it was this very awkward moment. And my thought as I watched it play out last night was,
actually,
what happens?
According to the internet, don't know how true it is, John Halliburton is 70 years old.
Get out.
That's what they say.
There's no way. Let's see. Tyrese Halliburton is, he's 25.
And then another one says Halliburton's father age is not publicly available.
Yeah, I saw that
one. It's the internet.
It's the internet. Either way, genuine question. If he gets into Giannis's face last night, and Giannis puts his ass in the dirt, right? Goes full offensive line pancake block on this dude last night. What's the reaction to that? Are people gonna bust up the pro athlete for shoving another pro athlete's father to the floor?
Well, yeah,
if he gets in his face and starts putting towels and going forehead to forehead,
it's elder abuse.
Because if another player goes after Giannis last night the way that Tyrese Halliburton's dad went after Giannis last night, let's be real. We all have that game, that first game between these teams, circled on the calendar when next season tips off, right? Like, we all go, if that's Tyrese and not Tyrese's father last night, we all have Bucks Pacers opening game circled on the cat. The NBA probably puts that game on opening night next year to highlight that rivalry. But if it's Tyrese's apparently 70-plus-year-old father, that dude, he ain't 70. I'd have said he's in his 50s.
All right, I am seeing things that say that his father is a basketball referee.
Yes, I believe he played in the league, too. I believe he did have some time in the Asociacion. I'm not sure. I got to do my research on that because I didn't last night. Because when that game was over, I jumped for a handful. I knew I wasn't going to finish it, so I jumped over into Clippers Nuggets. But I got a couple of takeaways. I think takeaway number one is I'm really intrigued as to what would have happened in that moment had Giannis decided to treat Tyrese Halliburton's dad like Tyrese Halliburton and just gave him the old what for to the hardwood. Number two, I am kind of interested after it. By the way, we didn't even talk about the game. The Pacers were down 7 with like 37 seconds left to play. They won that game. Forced OT, came back, and they shouldn't have won an OT either. They were trailing in overtime as well. And we're able to come back and get that dub. Shocking win for Indianapolis. Complete meltdown by the Milwaukee Bucks. And I said earlier this week, I would not be shocked if Nikola Jokic's time with the Nuggets is done. I'm kind of at the point now where I don't think I'm going to be shocked if Giannis Antetokounmpo decides to leave Milwaukee after this. That was rough last night. Rough. But shout out and mad respect to Tyrese Halliburton, who was straight up willing to say, yo, my dad screwed up here, man. My dad went too far. My dad acted out of control, and that young man and I are going to have a talk when we get home. I mean, went dad on dad, and I got a lot of respect for that. All right, we're going to talk a lot of basketball on the show today. As a couple of the series came to their conclusions last night, a chance for a couple more to do the same this evening. We'll talk some Stanley Cup as the Cardiac Canes find a way to get it done, down 3-0 in the first period. They come back and win. Got some soccer in here. Stick with me. It's not for the reasons you think. All that more coming up on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. Expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Talking basketball this morning on the Rob Brown Show and the Fan Upstate. A couple of games, four games that went down last night, and a couple of series came to their conclusion. The Indiana Pacers finish off the Milwaukee Bucks. They were down 30-13 at the end of the first quarter, and it looked like it was going to be the Bucks' night. As much as I don't want to, because it's going to make Mario happy, and I do my best not to do that. I really like this Pacers team. Like, I have not watched enough of this Pacers team.
So are you becoming a Spurs fan?
No, I'm not. I'm a Pacers guy. I do like the Pacers. I don't know who the Spurs are. But I like the Pacers. This team, down 30-13 at the end of the first quarter, absolutely could have been a team that folded. But I like what they did. They just upped the physicality of the series. I think they are of the game, certainly, but I think the series has been physical the whole time. But they upped it even more last night. And I think when they realized that they were going to get a game, Bobby Portis and Gary Trent Jr. were both on it last night. And I don't know if this is because Dame was out and, you know, this was the first game back since the announcement that Dame was out with the torn Achilles. I don't know if it was because they went, hey, look, we're freed up a little bit. And I think athletes do this. I think sometimes they get freed up a little bit, right? This is why I've said for a very long time, an NFL coach has got to give the quarterback a little bit of leeway, a little bit of grace. You've got to let your QB know that they're on a long leash, not a short one. Because if the threat is looming that the backup will get your job after one bad day, you will stop trying to play well and start trying to play well enough not to lose your job. And I wonder if without Damian Lillard, Bobby Portis, Gary Trent Jr. played 48 minutes of basketball last night. Like, he didn't come off the floor. 48 full minutes. And by the way, this looks real bad for the Lakers. I obviously came off four. It was an overtime game. But this looks bad on the Lakers because the Bucks, or excuse me, looks better for the Lakers because the Bucks kind of employed the strategy that J.J. Redick has taken a bunch of heat for the Lakers in did you leave your guys out there too long, right? That's been the conversation about L.A. You left your guys out there too long, and when he got to the end of the fourth, LeBron was gassed. 0 points in the fourth quarter, you lose the game. Now you're on the brink of elimination. You've got to go win three in a row at this point. And that's, I'm not going to say impossible in the NBA, but it damn sure ain't probable. And so there's a lot of heat that J.J. Redick may have mismanaged his superstars' minutes, and this kind of gives credence to that might be the reality. Because the dudes, there was nobody on the Pacers' side. Miles Turner played 43 minutes. Nobody else played more than 41. Every single starter played at least 44 minutes for the Bucks last night. The Pacers went six men deep off the bench. The Bucks went four deep off the bench, but Torian Prince got 4 minutes and Brook Lopez got 8 minutes, right? So, like, they went four deep off the bench, but one guy checked in for 4 minutes. So it's not really like that helped a lot. This is where the concept of regular season load management comes in. This is the spot where you get into a series like this and you want to be able to say, we have the fresher legs in this series overall. So you can get 44, 46, 48 minutes out of a guy in an overtime game and not feel like you're blowing the legs out, right? But this was a game after the first quarter that I genuinely thought the Pacers could have folded it up. You had Gary Trent and Bobby Portis Jr. who were out there playing like they were all-stars because, again, without Dame Lillard, I think they got freed up a little bit to, hey, we need you to carry this game. Go be you. Go be dogs. You are not Dame's backups anymore. You are not guys that we are going to ask to go be Dame Lillard for 10 minutes while he catches a breath. I need you to go be you. I need you to go be the NBA players that got you this gig. And the two of them went off. And I thought this was a game Indiana could have laid down. They did not. They forced in overtime by putting up 34 in the third quarter, and then they gutted it out. They were down, again, they were down like eight with 2 minutes to play in OT. They were down, I think, five with like 34 seconds to play in OT. And they found out a way to get it done. I thought that was impressive. Pistons 106-103 winners over the Knicks last night. Not a lot of takeaway out of this game for me. You had in the teens for all five Knicks starters. You got 24 out of Cunningham. You got 22 out of Thompson for the Pistons. It came down to the bench. It came down to the bench. You got 10 out of Beasley and 14 out of Schrader off the bench for Detroit. You got 13 for Mitchell Robinson. Campaign Miles McBride had 2 and 4 respectively off the bench for New York. When you have teams, and again, I want to be very clear. I think the Knicks are a better team than the Pistons, okay? It's a better team. I think the Pistons have the advantage of having Cade Cunningham. I think the Pistons have the advantage of having no pressure on them in this series. Tom Thibodeau and the Knicks have a lot of pressure on them in this series. The Tom Thibodeau, I'm not... I heard Cody Deck... I think Deck said this, and I kind of like gave him a little bit of crap about it. But I also think in the grand scheme of things, he may not have been totally off base. He said he thinks to some degree, Tom Thibodeau might be coaching for his job in this series. And I'm like... What are you talking about? You came in as the second shortest odds to win the East. What are we talking about here? And Deck made the point of, yeah, but they did this last year too. They did this last year too. They came in with the second shortest odds last year. They got absolutely worked in the playoffs last year. And there's a lot of folks who believe they got worked in the playoffs last year because Tom Thibodeau mismanaged the roster, mismanaged the minutes, mismanaged his superstars, and we talked about it last year. I don't have a problem with that takeaway from last year's series for the Knicks. They're on the verge of having the same issue. Now, they are up 3-2, and they lost one game. Like, it is not panic time for the Knicks. But if they drop one more, and this thing goes 3-3, and it goes to a game 7, I'll take Detroit in 7. Because it's just a team full of dogs right now. Magic 89, Celtics 120. Orlando gets the floor wiped by the Celtics. This is the Boston team that I expected. They shot 57% from the floor last night. That included, this is a real statistic, 54% from three. You know what I liked about them last night? They shot 24 three-pointers. We have had games in this NBA season where teams combine to shoot 100 three-pointers. We have had games this year where teams were putting up 53-pointers. The Seas put up 24 last night. I'll tell you what I really enjoy out of watching Boston play right now. I am enjoying the fact that this might be, for all the talk about, Joe Mazzulla is a psychopath, and he is. That game that Porzingis got split open across the dome, face covered in blood. I don't know if you saw the post-game presser. Porzingis came in, and that blonde hair of his, he had like Ric Flair streaks of blood going through it because he was wiping it backwards through his dome. And Mazzulla in the postgame presser, they were like, yo, Joe, did you see your boy Kristaps? And Mazzulla's response was, yeah, I love seeing the guys bleed. Psychopath, man. The guy's nuts. But it's made him compelling. It's made him entertaining. The thing I like about the Boston Celtics right now, and you saw this in this game last night, is that they might be the most talented, least flashy team of all time. Like, if you're an old hat basketball fan, if you're a basketball fan who has talked for a while about how the new school NBA just doesn't match up to the old school, I have to assume you're watching the Boston Celtics play basketball right now because it is old school ball. It is high efficiency. It is low risk. It is take care of the basketball. It is make the right decision, go with the high percentage shots. 24-3 in a year where we have watched basketball teams put up 50-plus threes in a game. The Celtics put up 24 last night, and the majority of them were either uncontested or lightly contested, right? Like catch and shoot, guys closing out, close enough to call it contested, but by and large, they're not. And I think there's, I don't know, I enjoyed watching this team play last night because it's get the ball in the right spot, it's take the right shot, it's don't get carried away, it's don't overplay your hand, just make the right shot. And they got that done. And we'll talk Nuggets Clippers later on in the show because that series is everything I really wanted. Actually, it's more than I wanted it to be. I kind of thought the Nuggets were going to blow the Clippers out. They are back in control of this series 3-2. I thought they were going to blow out the Clippers. The resurgence of Kawhi and James Harden's been interesting. But last night, Denver looked like a team that can win the NBA championship game. So we'll break that game down further. When we come back here in just a minute from right now, something happened in British soccer, actually Welsh soccer, technically speaking, that I want to address for you, the American sports fan, that I think proves a point I've been making for a long time. I'll tell you what it is when we come back. Rob Brown, the Great Malonzo, you, the Rob Brown Show, the Fan Upstate.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Nerds! Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Smart Travel doesn't just cover points and miles. They break down all the financial aspects of your trip, whether that's the best days to book, how to avoid hidden fees, or which fancy travel credit cards pay off, and which ones are just an expensive flex. If you want your travel budget to work harder, then dive into the best deals, products, services, and more with Smart Travel from NerdWallet, wherever you get your podcasts.
So you may have followed over the past couple of years the story of Wrexham FC. It is a fifth-tier Welsh football team. The football team was purchased a number of years ago by a couple of American celebrities. Ryan Reynolds, a.k.a. Deadpool, and Rob McElhenney, of course, known for his character on a little show called Always Sunny in Philadelphia. The two of them went in together, and they bought this fifth-tier Welsh football club, a club that for a very, very long time was just kind of something for the town of Wrexham to do on weekends. They were never any good. Their stadium was falling apart. Nobody came to their games with the exception of the Wrexham fans that were close to the stadium. Nobody cared. These two guys bought this club. And granted, they have an inherent advantage, an inherent privilege of being famous. And so they don't have to necessarily work as hard for publicity as owners of other clubs would. But this football club, since they purchased it a number of years ago, has been promoted three times. Now, I've told you about promotion relegation for those of you that maybe don't know what that means. In European soccer leagues, they play under a system called promotion relegation. That is to say, you have your top league, you have your second league, you have your third league, you have your fourth league, you have your fifth league, you have your sixth league. It goes from every team from the Premier League, which is your NFL, all the way down to your local beer league recreational team, all play under the same umbrella. And if you are one of the top teams in any given league, with the exception, obviously, of the top league, if you win the league or place high enough in it, you can be promoted to the next league up. With a promotion to the next league up comes more exposure, more coverage, more money, etc., etc. This Welsh football team, Wrexham FC, when it was purchased by Rob McElhenney and Ryan Reynolds, was fifth tier. They were five spots down on the chain. Since then, they have now been promoted three consecutive years running. They have been promoted all the way up to the second highest league in the UK. They are now one level below the Premier League. They are now playing one level below the NFL of British soccer. They are the first club in that league's, I hesitate to call it a league because like each league is a league, in that umbrella's history to be promoted three consecutive seasons. And again, there is an inherent advantage by being Reynolds and McElhenney. They're world famous, but that's not why this club got promoted. This club got promoted because this club promotes. This club got promoted because this club spent money. This club got promoted because this club decided to drop the suit and tie act and decide instead to try. They spent $2 million on this club. When this club was purchased, this club is worth roughly $2 million. This club is now worth more than $100 million. Now, I'm real bad at math and real bad at money. But if you were able to take something that you spent $2 million on and turn it into a $100 million investment and do so in like 5.5 years, I'd say that's a pretty good investment. Three historic promotions, and I think that they have proved a lesson. They spent $2.5 million to buy this club that was outside the Football League for 15 years with a crumbling stadium. And what'd they decide to do? They decided to promote the club itself. They got a documentary made about it, Welcome to Wrexham, which if you have not watched it, it's on FX. And it is, to me, worth going back to the beginning of the documentary and watching it. Even if you're not a soccer fan, it is worth going back and watching Welcome to Wrexham from its beginning. It's just, if nothing else, it's entertaining. They took a bunch of unknown players and basically turned them into celebrities alongside their celebrity. To the point that not only are these players now known around the league, the ones that are still with the club, some of them, guys like Paul Mullins, started seeing their jerseys show up on the internationally most purchased jerseys list. This guy was a good player, but he was a good player at the fifth level of football in that organization. Then he suddenly saw his jersey skyrocket into like the top 25 international players' jersey sold list, which was impressive. They created a marketing machine around this club. They turned it into something that if you were a soccer fan and you weren't following it, you kind of felt out of the loop. You kind of felt like you didn't know what was going on. They went and they decided, let's make sure that we are not just promoting ourselves, but let's make sure that businesses feel like they are getting a return on investment out of their deal. They have commercial deals for this club now that make it more money than some of the high-level clubs, some championship-level clubs. But there's something else that these two guys do that I think has, I think justifies the attention that has been paid to them since their promotion was earned a few days ago. These are two owners that are not distant owners. These are two owners that, yes, they want to make money out of their club. Of course they do. There's no owner that buys a club, any sport, any country, any level, any league. There's nobody that buys a club and doesn't care if they lose money. You do not get to the spot that guys like this are in without loving money. But I think unlike other billionaire owners, I think these two guys recognize how valuable it is just to be connected to the team, just to be there, be interacting with the fans directly. One of the things that I loved about this documentary, Welcome to Wrexham, that I was talking about a second ago, is in watching it, one of the things you will see is that Ryan and Rob, I am not on a first name basis, but you know who I'm talking about. They don't just go to games. They're actually in the community, right? They actually, about half the scenes in the first couple of seasons of the documentary are filmed with the two of them going to the neighborhood pub right next to the stadium, going to restaurants, going to stores, buying stuff, being involved. And I think that's fantastic. They are the definition of a club that treats their fans like family. It's something that American football clubs all the time. They go, oh, you know, you guys aren't our fans, you're our family. And it's like, ah, it's great, man. I appreciate you giving me the family discount on those $100 tickets that I have to buy to come watch my relatives play the sport that I love to watch them play. This club hasn't done that. This club, by the way, is, by and large, still charging the same ticket prices that they charged when they were a fifth-level club. It turns out that if a club genuinely embraces the mentality, and I'm going to say family first. I don't necessarily mean that you have to have like squeaky clean, behave yourselves, don't talk smack, don't have fun at our games mentality. I'm talking about make fans feel like if they miss out on a game or a match or an event, make fans feel like they're genuinely missing out. Like they're going to have FOMO from not being a part of this. And then spend money, right? Like, this is why I have said when the USL a few weeks ago, and we talked about it on this show, when the USL announced, when the United Soccer League announced that they were going to be doing a promotion relegation model, I got genuinely excited. Do you remember why I got excited? I got excited because of what the Greenville Triumph, I think, can accomplish within that model. Because more than any club I've been around, and I say this with all due respect to the other local clubs in the community, of which you all know I love them. Hell, I work for most of them in one role or another. One of the things that the Greenville Triumph have done, I think, better than any other club or organization that I have been around, is they absolutely do make it feel like, number one, if you get into it, I feel like I'm missing out on matches when I have to miss matches, right? Like I've told the wife before, the Triumph for the one club, I won't work for on match day. I won't work for them. I may do a halftime show for them every now and then, but I will not work on match day for the Triumph. And that is out of love for them because I love going to their events so much. I love going to their matches so much that they are the one sporting team in town that I go, I'm not losing going to the game day experience. Number two, Joe, Doug, Chris have made it obvious. They will spend money. They will spend money to make this club feel like it is a thing. They will spend money on players. They put up a solid chunk of the money necessary to build that new stadium out in Malden that will be ready for next season. They spent the money to go get freaking Ronaldinho involved in the ownership group and make him feel like it's worth buying in. They will spend money. And a lot of clubs, especially at that level, won't do that. These two guys took a fifth-level club, which, for the record, is lower than what the Triumph are on the U.S. Soccer Federation organizational scale. We're a fourth-tier club. We're a fourth-tier club, basically. Realistically, you could make the argument it's a third-tier club. But we are, in the American soccer scheme, a higher-tier club than Wrexham was when McElhenney and Reynolds bought it. And they bought in and they said, let's spend money, let's spend it wisely, let's create an organization that the people in the community want to be a part of, and then when they grow it to a point, people across the region will buy in on, and then the nation will buy in on, and then internationally will buy in on. And it's been bought in on. This is why I have done my best to try to convince you guys that promotion relegation is the model that you as an American sports fan should want. Now, it's going to be tough in leagues like the NBA where there is no lower league, right? Like you have the G League, but there's no multiple levels of this. It's something that really kind of only works in soccer. But what it does, as I have said before, is it creates an incentive structure for owners to try. There are teams in this country, I'm looking at baseball specifically right now, mainly because it's baseball season, But I look at the Pittsburgh Pirates, a team that stumbled into Paul Skeens, who has been an absolute phenomenon for them. And then you look at the rest of that roster, and it's a bunch of who's who of guys who are who. I look at the Colorado Rockies, embarrassed by the Atlanta Braves again last night. I look at that team and I go, you got a couple of guys. You got like some cast-offs like Mickey Moniak and who else? I was talking yesterday to a friend of mine. We were talking about the Braves. And he goes, you know, I'm a baseball guy. I'm following baseball. I couldn't tell you two Colorado Rockies players right now. Why? Because they're not putting money into the pot. They don't go get players. They don't have it. What's the incentive to get better? We hand billionaire owners huge tax breaks, huge tax incentives, millions and millions of dollars of the community's money so that they can have very nice stadiums that they then profit off of when nobody does. This club going from fifth level because they had two owners that said, we'll invest in the stadium. We'll make it nicer. We'll make it nicer. We'll put new turf down. We'll put new stands in. We'll put new concessions in. We will make this where this club is something you feel like you have to be a part of. And they did that. And then people started showing up. They didn't ask Wrexham, an old steel mill community that has been on the outs since the end of the Industrial Revolution. They didn't say, hey, if you guys want a new stadium, you have to pay for it. They said, we got it. We'll take care of it. We're multimillionaires. We'll take care of it. They took care of it. The community said, okay, now we're in. Now you gave us a stadium that doesn't feel like a health hazard. They said, we're going to spend money to go get players. We're going to spend money to convince players that would have no other reason to look here to come here and be the best players they can be for us. And they did that. And now all of a sudden the conversation I heard yesterday was, should guys like De Bruyne, like one of the number one Dutch player in the world, is now considering going to play in Wrexham, a Welsh town with a population of like 6,000 people. And they are about to this offseason potentially enter negotiations to grab one of the best 10 soccer players on the face of the planet to come play there. This is why I have said for a very long time, ownership and having an owner that, yes, caring about profit is fine, but having an owner that is willing to invest in the club, not just take out of it, not just utilize it as an ROI machine, but is willing to invest in a club can actually help. I'm excited because that could be the Greenville Triumph if you guys buy in. You know what I buy into? The fact that Lonzo is about to blow your minds with a sports flash.
I give it 50-50. The Gamecocks baseball team got back in the win column with a 5-3 victory over Charleston Southern last night. The Buccaneers scored three in the final two frames, but Brendan Sweeney closed out the save. Jarvis Evans got the win, allowing just two hits through 5.2 innings. The Indiana Pacers closed out the Milwaukee Bucks last night with a 119-118 overtime win. Tyrese Halliburton had 26, and Miles Turner added 21 in the win. Detroit Pistons climbed within a game of New York with a 106-103 win over the Knicks. Kay Cunningham had 24 and Asur Thompson had 22 in the win. Boston finished off Orlando with a 120-89 win last night. Jason Tatum had 35 and Jaylen Brown scored 23 in the win. And the Denver Nuggets pushed the LA Clippers to the brink with a 131-115 win. Hour number two of the Rob Brown Show coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
Nerds!
Today's episode is sponsored by Smart Travel, a new podcast from NerdWallet. Want to travel like a savvy jet setter? No, that doesn't mean monogramming your passport. It means making smart decisions every step of your trip, which means knowing your options. Smart Travel unpacks the facts, like which booking sites actually save money, how to fly first class using points, and if that fancy travel card is a smart investment, all so you can save more on your next adventure. Follow Smart Travel from NerdWallet today and start traveling like a pro.